Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geek Steve. My name's Marika.
And my name is Kelly.
Kelly, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm enjoying a, I think, well-deserved rest.
Certainly. This is our last episode of season two. This is our last episode of 2022. And this is the end of Advent. I mean, it ended a few days ago on the 25th, but you've been able to relax. I mean, I know you're still actively drinking teas.
Of course. The main difference is they're not as closely bunched together.
Right.
Everyone always says it must be so hard to drink that many teas every day during Advent, and it's not.
Please.
That is the normal amount of teas I consume. I just definitely don't consume them that close together.
Right. Yeah. And there is a sense of, I mean, I really enjoyed my Advent experience this year. I really liked waking up knowing that I had like 3 new cups to discover. Sometimes it was old cups, but it didn't really matter. It was just like, I don't know. It was like, good morning. It's the holidays. You have new teas. But it did get to a point where there is a sense of obligation that I have to drink this today, or I have to, you know, how am I going to drink it? When am I going to drink it? Is it caffeine free? Is it in an ingredient that would actually pair better with my lunch? Like, should I wait for lunchtime? Should I wait for dinner? You know, so there was a lot more like mental exhaustion when it came to my tea drinking, as opposed to just like kind of enjoying my tea.
Yeah, it's a little bit of column A, column B, in the sense that, you know, you kind of feel like Christmas morning unwrapping like the first gift every day of December.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a really, really fun feeling. But there is a lot of monotony to, not the tea selection. The tea selection's great. It was really, really solid this year. I feel like it was almost the most diverse assortment of flavors that I've ever had in an Advent year.
Just nice.
A lot of range across all the companies that I explored. But monotony in the, okay, I wake up, I open the Advents, I photograph the Advents. I put a timeline on it for me because right. I post at the same time every day. So I have to have drank every tea and photographed it before 5.
Wow. Yeah.
And then after 5, I review all of them on Steepstar. So it is a churn in that sense a little bit.
But it's worth it. Do you think, how comfortable were you with the amount that you did this year?
It was a good amount. By the end, because I had a 6th that kicked in at the halfway point, since one of my companies this year was 12 days,
mm-hmm.
maybe 6 I think is a little bit borderline, but 5 felt real good. Okay. Real nice balance.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, I did 3 this year. I'm thinking maybe next year I'll add one more. Just because some days you get all green teas or you get all caffeine free, and it's yep. just the math there still surprises me, like how that can possibly happen. But I think I'm going to go with just one more next year to see what happens. But this is the episode to talk only about tea. This is our top picks of 2022. But before we launch into that, Kelly, what's in your cup?
I'm drinking today Monoman Maple
from nice.
David's Tea and Tea Horse. So this is a collaborative blend that I got to work on with Mark and Denise of Tea Horse. Well, technically we worked on it in 2021, but it came out at the start of 2022 this year. And I don't know, it's so cozy. The base is a mix of black tea and Monoman, which is a grain indigenous to North America. It tastes kind of like hojicha, genmaicha, soba, like that vein. So real toasty, which you all know is so, so up my alley. I'm just really proud of the tea, of the work we were able to do in partnership with Mark and Denise. This is not the David's Tea podcast. There's actually an entire episode about this tea in the David's Tea podcast.
Yes.
But also no getting around that, you know, that is a huge part of my life, of my day to day. And you know, I'd be lying to not say that it was one of my favorite blends I've ever got to work on and develop. I just think it's a really good tea.
It's so funny because that tea, if we'd done a top five, that was going to be on it. I had a really hard time cutting it from my final choice.
Me too.
Really tough. Because I was only tangentially involved in, hearing about the tea and everything. But I remember talking to you in 2021 when you were working with Tea Horse. And I remember saying, you know, this is such an amazing ingredient. This is going to be such a cool project to work on. But is the tea going to taste good? Because I think a lot of the times, and I'm not pointing any fingers and I'm not trying to say, oh, David's tea is so awesome. Like, we go above and beyond. Like, this is not at all what I'm saying. I think just sometimes when there is a give back aspect to a tea or the use of a specific ingredient, the tea may not always be delicious. You know what I mean? It may just be a play from a company or a way to just showcase something, but they didn't really know what to do with the ingredient or how to manipulate it. And I remember asking you, like, yeah, but is it going to be good? Because it has to be good. And honestly, when I tried it, I was like, oh, you nailed it. You and Tea Horse and everyone in the lab and David's Tea, I think it really is a really rich and lovely profile, not overly sweet, very easy to drink. And yeah, almost made my top five for sure. Well, made my top five, but almost made my top three.
And what are you drinking?
Well, I'm feeling under the weather today. And I walked into, you know, your cavern of tea, and right kind of in front of my chair was a tea by Pinky Up called Cinnamon Bun. And I thought, yeah, that'll do, because I'm a little blocked up, and you know, it's got cinnamon flavoring and cassia. And cassia is just a really good cold tea for me. You know, cinnamon just always really warms me up, makes me feel good, makes me feel comforted. I can't taste all the nuances of the tea because I am slightly clogged up, but it's an herbal tea and it's working for the mood that is today. So
for the people at home, it's kind of just a lot of cinnamon. There's other things in the ingredient list, but it kind of just tastes like a lot of cinnamon.
Yeah, and that's really what I wanted. I just wanted something kind of robust and woodsy and a little warming, and that's what I'm getting with this cup. So, yeah, that's what I'm drinking now. This was... I feel like I always say it's an impossible task when we have to, like, pick fandoms or pick teas because we're just exposed to it so much. We love so much. But honestly, choosing the three teas for this year is the hardest list I've ever had to do. It took me like 2 months.
We actually put off recording the episode a couple times because I couldn't pick a third tea.
Same. I had my top two done, and then the third one just took forever. But I got it. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I am ready.
I have no idea what you've chosen. You have no idea what I've chosen. In no particular order, Kelly, what is your first tea?
So I'm going to get the David's Tea one out of the way. It's really hard to not just have a list of teas from David's Tea. And obviously, I am so incredibly biased, not just because we, you know, work for the company, but I mean, I kind of make the teas. So there is a level of pride associated with pretty much every tea we put out. And you know, knowing a tea blend that intimately makes it very hard to not just want to pick exclusively blends from David's Tea. The one I did pick is Cranberry Ginger Ale.
I knew it. I knew that was going to make your list. Okay, go ahead.
It's a Yapan tea. So Yapan, an herb native to North America, primarily grown in Texas, and it is caffeinated. One of the, actually, I think the only caffeinated non-Camellia sinensis plant grown within North America. And I don't know, the story, I guess, for the tea, when I started at the head office, I was a data assistant within the R&D department and the quality control departments. And, you know, I got to taste every new blend that was being developed, but at the beginning, I wasn't actively working on developing them. Still incredibly cool to taste everything, not just, know, the things that eventually were sold, but all of the iterations in between. This was the first concept I ever pitched back when I was a data assistant. Didn't do any of the development on it. This is all my coworkers, Billy and Celia. You know, they brought it to the final point there, but it was my idea, and so there's a little bit of pride and, for lack of a better word, ownership.
Oh, yeah.
Attached to,
yes,
to it, and but they did an incredible job. Cranberry ginger ale for me is a thing that I heavily associate with winter. It's a very, very popular seasonal pop soda that comes out in the prairies every year. We would buy, you know, cases of it because it's the only time it's sold. And I just love the profile of the soda. I think the tea does a really good job of recreating the effervescence without actually being carbonated.
Yeah.
It's a really bright cranberry, just the right amount of sweetness, just the right amount of ginger heat. If I was going to pick one David's Tea blend from the year, it's this one, not just for taste, but because of personal feelings and, you know, associations built into it.
It's a really nice tea. It took me a very long time to come around it. I know you know this story. I'm going to share the story because it's a kind of momentous. Like, you have a very personal association with this tea. I also have a very personal association with this tea. So for our listeners, we're in the lab. There's about 10 of us. We're tasting through all these teas that we're deciding whether they're going to get launched or anything. And we get to cranberry ginger ale. And I can see Billy, Celia, and Kelly are all really excited for us to try this tea. And I go and I taste it and I hate it. Like, I hate it. You know, like, but we don't say anything. When we taste in the lab, you don't say anything. You drink and you wait for everyone to finish tasting before you say anything.
Yeah, no confirmation bias. You know, keep everything neutral so that everyone forms their own opinions.
Exactly. And so I think I was the first one to taste it. So I tasted it and I sat down and I was just like, ugh, I'm going to have to say no on this one. I can't stand it. And then as soon as the last person finished tasting, the room erupted. I've rarely seen the lab collectively get as excited about a tea as they did about cranberry ginger ale. And everyone's like, this is amazing. This is so good. Like you said, we can taste a kind of sparklingness without it being carbonated. This is going to be amazing iced. It's actually quite nice hot. And I was flabbergasted because I've never seen 10 people who with very different backgrounds and tastes get so excited about a single tea. And I was just sitting there really quietly, not saying anything, because I thought, okay, maybe there's something wrong with me. And I was like, do I tell everyone that there's too much hibiscus in this tea, that it's too tart? I know it's supposed to be cranberry, but it's too tart. And while everyone's talking, I'm going through it in my head. And the train of thought that I had was, wow, it's really too tart. All I can taste is the hibiscus and the tartness. Huh. It's kind of like when I was pregnant, how hibiscus really impacted me and all I could taste was hibiscus in teas. And then I was like, 27, 28, 29. Oh my God, I'm pregnant. Because we'd been trying to get pregnant. And I realized in that moment that I was in fact pregnant. I was like, I'm tasting the hibiscus like I did the first time I was pregnant. And I didn't hear the rest of the meeting. Because obviously I was just sitting there with the knowledge.
Yeah, it's a lot to very quietly, you know, intimately hold in during. And those meetings are long. When we get into one of those meetings, they are multi-hour meetings of, like, back-to-back tasting. And you, in the kindest way, are not a quiet person.
No, I'm not famous for keeping to myself, yeah.
And you were very quiet during that tasting.
I just was like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, do I leave? Do I go? Anyway, but all this to say, for over, you know, and we taste these teas, obviously, you know, sometimes a year or two before they get released. Every time I would taste it again, I couldn't dissociate from that memory. And all I could taste was the hibiscus. But here's where it gets interesting. It was part of the David's Tea Advent this year. And I saw it and I went, oh God, this freaking tea keeps coming back. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to take the whole tin, which is about 2 perfect spoons. And I'm just going to make a teapot. I'm not even going to, you know. And I finally got it, Kelly. About 2-3 weeks ago, I drank it and I was like, this is delightful. It took me 2.5 years, but I got there. I got there.
Sometimes it takes a journey. But in the end, I feel like I'm pretty convincing when it comes to my favorite David's Tea Picks, and you specifically.
Yeah, it really hit the mark. I think I would only drink it as a teapot. I really would, but no, it's a good cup. I knew it was going to be on your list, and I'm happy it made the list because it deserves to make the list. Should I also get the David's Tea out of the way?
Sure.
So that we can talk about other companies? Okay, so my pick for, in no particular order, is a David's Tea, Royal Yunnan Gold.
Ooh, solid choice.
It's a good tea, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good tea. And I think that we take a lot of pride at David's Tea with the flavored teas that we do because there's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of, you know, playing with ingredient quantities and getting just the right profile. It's just always such a joy to find that, you know, Mother Nature's got us beat, and the people who have been working those lands for so long have got us beat. Like, it, when you have a straight tea that just blows you away, when in the environment that we're in, when we're surrounded by flavored teas, and that we have so many great contacts to bring us such wonderful teas, like, oh, and the look of this tea,
it's stunning.
It's so gorgeous. It's like white buds that are like golden brown. It's got a really lightly malted, squashy kind of flavor to it. It's easy to steep. It's easier to love. It's not too tannic. It's like floating on a cloud in the mountains of Yunnan. I loved it. And I don't drink it very often, but every time I do, I'm just shocked at what an exceptional cup it is.
No, it sold out really quickly.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of it left, but it's one of those teas where I'm like, ah, shit. Like, I probably should have got more. I think it deserved the love it got from the people who bought it. I've only seen good reviews on it. If I was going to pick, like, a favorite straight tea that we released this year, absolutely it would be this one.
Yeah, it was just, the word is just delightful. Every time I had it, I was like, oh, I deserve this. I deserve this moment. I deserve this flavor. It was just a perfect, perfect profile. Great way to just start the day, end the day, midday. It just, every time I had it, I was like, this is just an exceptional tea. So it's made my 2022.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, second pick, Kelly.
So I'm going with Hazelnut from Ticino.
Ooh, okay.
So this is an herbal blend. Ticino, if anyone is not familiar with the company, specializes and specifically only makes herbal coffee alternative teas.
Yeah.
So they are usually a foundation that is very similar. Actually, I think it is the same across the board for pretty much all of their blends of roasted dandelion, chicory, carob, a little bit of date. And they just use the same thing. It's really, really robust, intense, full body. I think they do a really good job of recreating the naturally occurring acidity of coffee without it being too acidic, using that almost sour but somewhat pleasantly so top note of chicory to convey that. And I don't know, I feel like this was the year I explored coffee alternatives.
Yes.
I drank a lot of coffee alternatives from a lot of different companies, and I'm not a coffee drinker, like, at all. Not anti-coffee, but not a coffee drinker. But I love roasted flavors.
I know.
I love earthy flavors, things that taste like dirt and soil and the forest and wood. And so obviously the idea of all of these fake coffee blends that use similar foundations appeals to me a lot. This hazelnut one, though, It is a step above the rest. Really? It is probably the nicest hazelnut flavoring I've tried in maybe any tea. I really like the hazelnut flavoring in David's Tea's hazelnut chocolate pour. Mm-hmm. But I don't love chocolate teas.
Right.
And so I don't drink that tea as often as I would otherwise. This one is just all hazelnut, though, with that, like, solid foundation. So, the moment I took that first sip, it was actually in the office at your desk.
Was it?
Yeah. And I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I had made it as, a big mug, and I took that first sip, and I had to stop for a moment and be like, need a second, we'll resume the conversation in, 30 seconds. I need to take this in.
I do remember that. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Ticino's base blend, whatever it is, and I do think they alter it dependent on the flavor, but I think it is always the same ingredients. I'm with you, though. Chicory and carob are fantastic flavors, and when done right, I can't wait to try it now, because I do love their regular one, like the original. Yeah, the original. Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good.
They have a lot of really fun flavors. I went through pretty much their whole catalog this year, minus their mushroom line for, obvious reasons.
Right, allergy-induced yeah. reasons. Don't want to die for tea.
Yeah. not willing to roll those dice. There are some really good ones. If I had to, throw out other options, if people were curious. Like, the amaretto I thought was really good, if you like almond. Snickerdoodle was really nice. It's not as sweet as you would think it would be. It's more cinnamon. Gingerbread has been nice this time of year. But in general, I think anytime they do a nut flavor, they really kill it.
Oh, man. I really want to try it, because that sounds... when you get a nut flavoring perfectly, it's such a joy. I don't know why that particular category of flavor, when it's well done, when I get a good walnut, I lose my goddamn mind.
I think it's because when it's not well done, it's so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Walnut, for example, if you're not doing a good walnut flavoring, it kind of tastes like Play-Doh.
Yes. So yeah, when you get a good nut, ooh. All right, excellent choice. My second choice. I mean, how sure were you that Brutalities was going to make my list this year?
I was pretty confident at least one tea would crack the list.
I just love this company so much. And it's because they continue to just impress me in so many ways. The choice I made for this year is the Vanilla Lemon and Basil Limited Edition. God damn, that was a good cup.
It was a real good tea.
That was. So, Brutalities does collabs. I'm not going to speak for them, because I'm not entirely certain how they decide to do a collab, because sometimes they do it for charity, sometimes they do it with, musical artists. This was for a local clothing boutique in their area in Jersey, I think. And they released it at the same time as I happened to be placing an order. And I was like, okay, I'm going to add this and try it out. Vanilla, lemon, and Tulsi. Let's see what happens. What a smooth cup. Smooth, not overly flavored. I tasted the vanilla. I tasted the lemon. I had to search a little bit for the Tulsi. But I wasn't mad at that, because I think if there had been too much Tulsi, it would have just ruined the vanilla, lemon quality of the tea. And I knew it was limited edition, and I still drank it, conservatively every single morning for, 15 days. I was just like, you know what? I'm enjoying this. It's what I feel like. My husband loved it. It brought up for me the question of, why isn't there more vanilla lemon black teas that are good?
You'd think it would be an easy enough combo to pair, and there are some really nice ones out there, but I don't know, it is wading through a minefield of too sweet, yes. Too pithy,
yeah, it's either sucking on a lemon or a straight up vanilla cupcake with a hint of citrus. And this one was just, I tasted both, but the robustness of the base, of the black base, really carried it, and it made it a great morning cup. And I just want better vanilla lemons from the world at large.
I'm going to say a thing, and I mean it as a compliment. In general, I think Brutality is really good at making their blends fun. They're not usually clever in necessarily a highly intellectual way. They're very, right, like, we saw a pun and so we did it. And it's a quality I fucking love about them. Like, right, French Toast Busters, yes. This year they put out, that I saw in some of the people I'm following who did their advent this year, Cakes on a Plane.
Yes.
Fucking love it. Brilliant.
On board.
So on board. They're not blends where I necessarily feel like they've, you know, invented the wheel or done something that another company hasn't, just with like a more basic name.
Right.
They're very well executed teas. We both love this company. They're, you know, the balance of flavors is really well fine-tuned, I think. But they're not things I look at and go, oh, how refined.
I love them because I feel that their blends are not overthought. There's a great deal of thought that's put into the balance, but it's not overthought. They swing for the fences, they go for it, and there's an earnestness and an authenticity to their cups.
I totally agree. I think what I'm trying to say, in maybe not the most cohesive way, is this is the first blend I tasted from them that my thought was, oh, sophisticated.
Yes. Yes, I have to agree. There was a... Yeah, I don't know how to say it without sounding like a condescending asshole.
And I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm not trying to be condescending.
No, I think you're right. I think there was... I'm going to use the word refined. There was a refined quality to it that I don't necessarily expect from their teas, because that's not necessarily, like, I think what they're going for. I think they're going for, like I said, that gut punch flavor that's just authentic and true and real. And this felt like, yeah, I could absolutely serve this to my 98-year-old grandmother for high tea, and it would go over extremely well. Like, extremely well.
And I don't know if Children of the Candy Corn you can say the same thing about. No, but it's a fantastic tea, but it's different.
It's different. It's different. No, so yeah, this it's too bad that it was limited edition, because I would buy straight up, I don't know, at least 250 to 500 grams without any pause. I would absolutely buy it right away. I think the limited edition quality also made it stand out in my mind more for the year, because as soon as it was gone, I was like, oh God, I may never have this flavor again. But yeah, that's my second pick for 2022.
It's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Last one for you. What made the list?
So my last one is Pyrolad.
Okay.
Which is a Sheng Puer from White Tu Ti. It's a smoked Sheng Puer.
Well, I mean, there's predictable and then there's super predictable.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I'm talking about myself, too. I'm like, oh, smoked Sheng? All right. On board.
I feel a little bad that I didn't have a fandom tea make my top this year. I think it's the first time we've recorded and that hasn't been the case, but I don't know. This tea is, it's something. If you have not picked up on, across our two seasons now, Marika and my shared love of smoked teas, I mean, it's a thing.
It's apparently a thing.
It's a huge thing. Usually it's lapsing specifically, but in general, I love smoky flavors. It's a really experimental Sheng, and I think White Tu Ti has done a very consistent job of pushing, you know, what are the boundaries of how far you can take traditional teas.
Right.
I think back, you know, 2016, I think, maybe it was 2017, they had a tea called Hot Brandy, which was a compressed blend of white tea and black tea. And at the time, like, people thought it was fucking insane.
Heresy.
You know, heresy. Why would you possibly press two different kinds of tea together? Even just pressing black tea and white tea separately wasn't really a big thing in North America yet. It hadn't hit, like, boutique pu'er shops the way it has now, where, you know, companies like White Tea, Bitterleaf, you know, etc., have expected pressed white tea drops or expected pressed black tea drops. And White Tea has consistently every year gone, I think, that step further with their experimentation. I mean, I remember the year they did a pressed Dansong oolong cake.
Right.
And I think that opened the doors for other boutique companies in North America to do not only pressed oolong cakes, but I bought a tea this year that was a pressed blend of show pu'er and Dansong. Like, we're getting freaky, yeah. You know? And this year and last year, they really doubled down on smoking things that are not traditionally smoked. And I went, check! And I bought all of them.
Oh, wow.
Smoked fucha, show, this one. But this is my favorite. It is really intensely smoked. It feels more raw and unrefined than I think it would on a black tea, and not because I don't think it's well smoked,
right?
But something about the way this Yangsheng is, you know, so green and light and still has like snap to it with that much smoke packed in. It's a special tea, and every time I've steeped it this year, I've had to be like, thank you, Paul. Thank you.
That's awesome. Sorry, because I've had lightly smoked chungs, but the level of smoke you're describing here feels like a Chung smokehouse. Like,
yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I'd drink that. I would drink that, absolutely. That sounds great. I love Y2T as well. Like, they are another company that just swings for the rafters, aren't they? They're just like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I think Paul... I mean, obviously, they got to make money. You know, that's how you keep a company alive.
Yeah.
And that is important. But I do think probably Paul every year gives himself a little bit of, like, all right, here's my fuck around cakes, where he doesn't really care if people buys them. They're mostly just for him.
I love it. And if
people like it too, great.
I love that. I love that so much. Because, I mean, that's one of the reasons I love the tea world so much, is when people are like, you know what? I enjoy this cup, and if we find a few people who also enjoy it, that's almost enough. Not enough to keep the lights on, but, you know, there's other tea for that. There's other things for that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so, so cool. Okay. All right. I'm going to go in with my last choice. This is the first time that a tea has made my list for top teas that I've only ever had one cup of.
Ooh, okay.
And I have to set the stage because... it was a Monday morning, and you know when you wake up, there's some Monday mornings where, like, literally everything in your life is fucking shit?
Yes.
Like, everything. Like, couldn't get the kids ready for school, got them ready for school, it was, like, raining, you know, I had, like, 8 meetings I didn't want to go to. It was just, like, everything about the day was just terrible. And you got a tea order in, and I was like, I'm gonna just drink some new teas because... I don't know. I was just like, I'm going to drink some new teas.
Because it's what we do.
It's what we do. And you got a Dessert by Deb order. And I'm hard on Dessert by Deb. I am. I want all of her flavors to be perfect. And they are. Except sometimes, like, the name works for me or it doesn't work for me. I always find that there's something that I'm like, And it was a green tea. And it was raspberry lychee macaron. And it's perfect. It was perfect. And it was so good, it literally did a 360 on what was the worst Monday in the recent past. It was, I tasted the raspberry, I tasted the lychee, I tasted the macaron, the green tea wasn't too cloying. Every sip, I was like, oh my god. Like, I was literally exclaming, like, oh my god. Oh my god, this is so good. I'm having such a good time with this tea. And that's how it made the list. Because what you also want from a tea is to just make your life better for a little bit. And goddamn, if this cup did not change the entire trajectory of my day, and therefore my week. And so raspberry lychee macaron makes my list for 2022 without any hesitation, because there are very few cups. Like, we're jaded, Kelly.
Yeah.
We're jaded at this point. We're drinking hundreds of, if not thousands of new cups a year with all the samples that we get and everything. That tea just turned it all around. So, well done, Dessert by Deb. Holy shit.
I actually remember that day really clearly, because it was... Oh, I hadn't been in the office the week before on, I think, the Thursday and Friday.
Right.
And it was shortly after Black Friday.
Right.
And when I came in on that Monday, I had, like, five different tea orders waiting for me. So we ended up with, on my desk, something like 30 different teas just piled in that corner.
Yeah.
And as we do, we smelled every single one of them. You know, we took the time, we unboxed, we really, really, like, analyzed the dry leaf of everything, you know, compared notes, and that, I think, was the best smelling one. I haven't actually made a cup of it yet.
Okay.
It came during Advent, and Advents keep me very busy, and I don't tend to drink as many other teas from my stash. I'm very eagerly waiting to get into those multiple orders that had arrived.
Right.
But, like, the dry leaf smell was fucking amazing.
It was fucking amazing. And I think I love when a tea is named. Naming a tea with, like, three words or three flavor descriptors, like, you better hit all three.
Right?
Like, you better hit all three or I'm going to be disappointed. You know how hard it is to do a macaron flavor?
Yes.
Yes. Actually, it's like I forgot who I was talking to for a second. Like, yes, I do, Marika. I don't like macarons. Let me put that out there.
I'm learning a thing about you that is maybe changing the way I view you a little bit.
I think it's a bullshit cookie.
They're so good.
I think it's a bullshit cookie.
Oh, I agree to disagree.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, tangent on macarons, right? Because I grew up in this city, and so they were readily available, but not... It wasn't everywhere. And then sometime in, like, 2010, this entire city lost its collective shit. And you found macarons in every mall, every stall, every supermarket, every bakery. And everyone was like, macaron, 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 macaron.
So, like, yeah, what a dream.
It's like almond, like, flour and, like, flavoring. Like, it's just... And I'm not a sweets person. You know this. Like, tell me there's no more desserts, and I'd be like, fair enough. Like, I'm okay not having a dessert for months on end.
Killed Dessert by Deb's business.
I know, right? No, I think, you know what? I said no desserts. I'd still have dessert teas, because that's honestly where I get a lot of my sweetness from, is from sweet teas, you know? I don't like macarons. I think they're a stupid cookie, whatever. It's on tape. How old am I? It's being recorded. And so I think that's what really surprised me is, like, I taste the raspberry and the lychee, and there was that kind of light almondy flour kind of thing, and the green tea didn't kill it. I think it's what carried everything. And if I were to do a macaron tea, I'd probably make it herbal, or I'd probably make it on a black, just because I'm lazy. But it worked, and I was shocked. I tasted everything. Fucking well done. Like, I loved it. So it makes my list for 2022. It saved my day. It made my week. Love it. So yeah, those are my top three. It's been a fun year. It was hard. This, like I said at the top of the episode, this was the hardest year to come up with three teas. I think the previous years we had done it faster. I don't know if that's my memory or...
No, I feel that way too. Or at least it was more obvious what you were narrowing down
from. Yes.
Because there have been a couple times where it was like, oh shit, like I have five teas. And, you know, I need to chop some things. This year it was, I don't know. It wasn't that I didn't have a lot of good cups of tea. Actually, right. the exact opposite. It's just that there was so many that it was like, how does something spring to mind, you know?
It was hard to be like you said, there were a lot of really good cups of teas, and I went over what I had, and I was like, Yeah, but is this like a good, the best of the year? Like 365 days. Was this the best and why was it the best? That was what made the list really, really hard this year, I think. Whereas the previous years, it was ultimately teased that either I drunk a lot of, or I tried for a first time and it just really stayed in my memory. And this year, maybe we're just drinking too many teas. Maybe, no, like I said, maybe we're just jaded as fuck. Like, no, I don't think that's it. It was just an interesting year in tea, as always, which is why we do what we do. I'd love to hear from our listeners what made their top. I want other people's lists. I want to hear what other people think made 2022 in terms of tea.
I mean, I recently passed 2,000 teas owned.
Congratulations.
That's a word. It's a word for it. I want the list from other people. I want to see if they're teas that I have. Statistically, probably.
Right.
And if they're not teas I have, like, tell me where I need to place, you know, the next orders from.
Yeah, I feel also like, okay, so I'm going to say a crazy thing. My New Year's resolution for 2023 is to not buy any tea.
Ooh. So, okay, I will be vicariously shopping for both of us then.
I mean, will I be looking over at you longingly and saying, hey, just give me... Because it doesn't mean I won't drink new tea. It doesn't mean I can't be gifted new tea. It doesn't mean that, like, my husband can't get me, you know... I'm not saying that. It's not what I'm saying. And obviously, Earl Grey Twinings will always be purchased because it's just a baseline for my entire life. Like, that's not even tea anymore, okay? That's just, like, something that keeps me going. But 2023 is going to be different because I want to sip down. I want to sip down. I have way too many. I want to sip down. I want to go through what I have. That being said, what I found this year was that I was pre-purchasing from the same companies over and over and over again. And I kind of want to discover new companies, brand new companies. So I will break the resolution if I have enough people telling me, you've got to try this company that I've never tried. I will, not just you, Kelly. I can't just trust you.
That's fair.
But if our listeners are like, no, you really got to explore like XYZ company, and I've never had anything from them, maybe I'll break my resolution. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
So let us know. You can find us on Instagram at GeeksTeep. Convince Marika to buy tea. I don't need convincing. Tell me where to order from. There's no uphill battle here.
Absolutely not. And that being said, Happy New Year, Kelly. Happy New Year, listeners.
We hope everyone had a safe break, a well-deserved rest, celebrated however they wanted to celebrate. And we're excited to kick off season 3 in the new year. Date to come, but we promise it won't be too long.
Absolutely not. Stay safe out there and happy sipping.
Bye.